We do. I just saw a couple churches that are sending people down, and sadly, it could have connected. It could have made it easy for them, a place to be able to go and all that. So if you're watching right now and you got 5 or 10 guys from your church that'd like to go and you don't know where to go, contact us. We'll plug you in. That's what we want to try to do here. A lot of crazy stuff still going on around the world, in the world. I don't mean to continue to promote it, but Hagman had another great guest on last night explaining everything that's going on around us. And, you know, we still haven't forgotten all that evil stuff that's going on in our government. I want to, Chad, get up. Jared, get the Psalm 2 ready. I hate to continue to camp on Psalm 2, but I'm taking us someplace today. I'm going to go, as I've been threatening to do, I'm going to go to the unholy trinity here today, but I've got to show you some things before we get there. This stuff is still going on around us. Do you understand this, folks? And if you would follow, have been following our show, you know that we talk about, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places, and that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There really is a deep state. There really is an Illuminati. There really is a Rothschilds. There really is a cabal of people who are running the Federal Reserve. The money really isn't any good. There are a lot of crazy things that are going on. Yes, there's weather manipulation. So I'm trying to get every tinfoil hat off I can get this morning. But I'm just telling you, you can believe this stuff and you cannot believe it. And all you got to do is look at the many works that go on within churches, within the body of Christ, how varied the works are within the body of Christ. And we look across the spectrum. The devil's team is absolutely, totally, completely at work. And I'm going to show you the unholy trinity here. But before I do that, I want you to know that I am not crazy. Jared, just click on the first thing that I sent to you today. You guys have all heard of the Washington Post, Ben Bradley, and what was her name? His wife, Sally, not Sally Field. She was the flying nun. Jared will get it up. Sally Quinn, that's it. Sally Quinn. They've run the Washington Post since the early, I don't know, 80s, 90s, whenever. Sally Quinn, she and Ben Bradley, they were, you know, they made the Washington Post go left. They covered all the politicians in Washington, D.C. But something came out today that is absolutely unbelievable. Jared, if you can just click on the first thing, it says "Oh God" on it. Amazing. Why are we shocked? I'm going to show you the Holy Trinity today. Bear with me. You have it up there on the screen yet, Jared? No, you got Psalm 2. We can stay on Psalm 2 real quick. Let's do that, and then let's come back to this unholy, to this Breitbart article. Here we go. Why do the heathen rage? First of all, there are heathen. There are heathen. Now, you'll get in trouble if you go to some church and call somebody a heathen or start talking about the heathen outside the church or the heathen in the world. But the Lord says there's heathen. David said there's heathen. Why do the heathen rage? Hey, Jared, man, I'm making you jump quick here. Google that, Jared. What's heathen? What does that mean, heathen? Because words do have meanings, and if we forget the words here, then we don't really understand what's going on. So why do the heathen rage? Well, let's find out what the heathen are. Definition of heathen is what? A person who does not belong, ever relating to people of nations that do not acknowledge the God of the Bible. There you are. Why the heathen rage? Who are they? The ones who don't acknowledge the God of the Bible. This is from Merriam-Webster Dictionary. Ever relating to heathens, their religions or their customs. Pagans. Why do the atheists, why do the unbelievers rage? Why do they? Okay, words mean things. Let's go back, Jared. Let's go back to the scripture. Why the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? I mentioned, remember I told you vain means empty or nothing or without effect. The kings of the earth set themselves, there they are, they're the heathen. The kings of the earth, the heathen, set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. So the devil's team is working together. And they take counsel together against who? Against the Lord and against his anointed. There's the football field. There it is. Come on, church. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away the cords from us, David says. Let's get these heathen. Let's not them wrap us up in bands and cords. Because you know that he sits in the heavens is laughing. Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill, Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. See, wrong people are winning. I'm going to knock on it. Dun, 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 dun. Wrong people are winning. The wrong people are winning. The wrong people are winning. So we have to worry about the rapture. Get out of here because the wrong people are winning. Ask of me, and I shall give you the heathen for your inheritance. Hey, boys, when's the last time we said that? Lord, give us the heathen for our inheritance, Lord. Break their teeth. Break their bonds and their strongholds. Give them as our inheritance, Lord. He says, ask of us, and he will. And the uttermost parts of the earth be thy possession. You, Lord, you shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. It doesn't say, oh, Lord, they're going to be running over us so bad that get us out of here. Get us out of here before they eat us. No. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. And how about this? Rejoice with trembling. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the earth, the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little bit. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. And you know what? We do put our trust in him, but we don't put our trust in him for victory. The heathen are raging. People are imagining the vain thing. What's the vain thing? The vain thing is we're going to get out of here. We're not going to have to face any of this stuff. And the devil's winning, and we'll get an evacuation and let all the bad people, they'll get what they deserve. That's a doctrine from whatever. Jared, pull up Breitbart. Can you do that? But I want to show you some of the heathen. I'm going to show you the unholy trinity today. It's in the emails, Jared, the first one in the email. It's from Breitbart. There we go. Look at this. Look at this. Are you ready, friends? Gatekeeper of DC society, Sally Quinn, comes out as an occultist and used hex to kill people. Ben Bradley, Sally Quinn, the Washington Post, here it is, controlling all of Washington. And what do we find out about Sally Quinn? You can go on down. You don't have to read the article because I'm going to tell you, but we'll send you the article. She's written a book. She's written a book, and she's come out, and she's talked about her life and blah, 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 blah. And three people that she believes died because of hexes that she put on them. Slide down here a little bit, Jared. See if we can just kind of the heathen are raging, see. Here it is. For nearly 50 years. I'm sorry, Jared. Go up just a second. There it is. For nearly 50 years, the entire social and political world of D.C. revolved around this couple, Bradley and Quinn. They were the new Camelot, the gatekeepers of who was in and who was out, the elite deciders among our ruling class with extraordinary power of Washington. Well, to put it as bluntly as possible, we're now learning that the Queen of Camelot is an occultist, a witch of sorts, who honestly believes, according to her own memoir, that she's murdered three innocent people through the dark art of the hex, a young woman who committed suicide after flirting with Quinn's boyfriend, a magazine editor who published an unflattering profile of her, who decades later died of cancer, and a psychic who died of a cerebral hemorrhage before the end of the year after telling Quinn something she did not want to know. Isn't that something? Okay, we don't have to read down through the rest of it, because you don't have to believe it if you don't want to. You can call it tinfoil hat. You can say whatever you want to. But here it is, and she is not denying. She outs herself as a believer in the occult and an erstwhile practitioner of voodoo. Folks, she's the Washington power broker. And the book is awash in tales of Quinn's occult prowess. She wants people to take this seriously, or at least to believe she is. She takes this seriously. The very least, she scared herself so badly when her third curse hit its mark, prompting a panic that her previous hexes had been karmically responsible for her son's illness. Now she vowed that she would never dabble in the dark arts again. But you can take that down, Jared. Washington power brokers. Occultists. Openly occultists. But there's no pedophile ring. There's no none of that stuff going on. That's all made up. That's all fake news. And the church, you think the church has any idea this is going on? Think the church has, of course we don't. Of course we don't. Okay, jump in here real quick before I dive in. I'm going to tell you the Holy Trinity today.
Okay.
Anybody?
Yeah, Coach. You know, key thing in that, what you just showed us, is that at that point or whenever, she believed. Now, the Bible tells us if we believe certain things are going to happen. But see, her belief was manifested by and because of her actions on her belief.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, our belief stays in our brains in a thinking process. That doesn't make it belief. It makes it wishing instead of believing.
Well, actually, Larry, it sounds like from what we read there, she was a little bit surprised when it worked. Sort of like Christians when they pray, right?
Yeah, but she still acted on.
She did. I agree with you. She acted. She acted on it.
We don't.
So what do we act? What we do? We act on fear. We talked about that yesterday. We act on fear. We're fear motivated. And so, point. Here's what I'm trying to hit. Here's what I want you to see. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? And the kings of the earth set themselves and their rulers take counsel together against the Lord and His anointed? Sally Quinn. They've been doing it for how long? Jared, I'm sorry. Let's go back to the beginning. It says, when did they come in power? When did Ben Bradley and Sally Quinn come in power? Tells us in the top of the article here. 50 years. Here it is, Jared. Many thanks to the dribs and the drabs that bubbled up over the past year, we are starting to have the question answered. The latest revelations surround Sally Quinn, the surviving widow of Ben Bradley, Washington Post most powerful executive editor from 1968 to 1999, who then served as the president's vice president, paper's vice president until his death in 2014. 50 years of occultism going on, the Washington Post. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Okay, so here we go. I've been waiting to do this. I've been trying to get this out of me here for a few weeks. The unholy Trinity. Are you ready? Here they are, and I'm going to break it down for you as we go. The unholy Trinity are Charles Darwin, Margaret Sanger, and Alfred Kinsey. The unholy Trinity. And I was talking to JR before we went on the show about the Natural Family Foundation. Think about that, man. Think about that. Charles Darwin, Margaret Sanger, and Alfred Kinsey. Now, you say, Coach, that's an awesome. Yeah, but these are the kings of the earth. And they take counsel together. And I'm going to show you here, shockingly, I hope. Surprisingly, maybe that would be a better word. Surprisingly, of what exactly has been going on. Jared, let's start out with our good friend, Charlie Darwin. Because I got to show you something here. Oh, wait a minute. Where is that? Oh, I'll get to it. No, Jared, I'm in one of those spells where my mind's going a million miles an hour. So stay with me here. Stay with me here. So, Jared, click on the Wikipedia on the origin of species. The origin of species. Charles Darwin. Now, here's really all I want you to see, okay? Because we've heard of Charles Darwin and his book on the origin of species. This is on Wikipedia. Now, sometimes you can believe Wikipedia. Sometimes you can't believe Wikipedia. I don't take it as a locked-down source of truth, okay? But you can get a feel for what people think when you read Wikipedia. But here's what the average person does not know. Are you ready? Charles Darwin's book, published on 24th of November, 1859. I want to stop right there. Where was science in 1859? Where do you think science was in 1859? There was no internet, of course, right? We connect the Scopes monkey trial when evolution began to be taught. That was in the 1920s, I believe. But in 1859, Charlie Darwin comes out with The Origin of Species. However, boys and girls, that isn't the name of the book. The name of the book is, here it is, you ready? On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection or the Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. Jared, can you click on, over there on the right, it has a picture of the book. I don't know if you can see that on the original. I don't know if you can do that or not. There it is. Folks, there is Charles Darwin's book and it's a racist book. Evolution is racist. Here it is. The origin of species by means of natural selection on the preservation of favored races in the struggle for life. London, John Murray, Albemarle Street, 1859. There's the first of the unholy trinity. Charles Darwin, writing this ungodly book on evolution that is now taken over and completely superseded the Bible, and it's the basis of history. No, it's the basis of science, evolutionary science. It's a religion. It has become the religion of the scientist. You cannot believe be a scientist if you are not a respected scientist. If you don't believe in evolution. In fact, they use it this much. If I get in debates, I get in arguments, I go places and people say this, well, don't you believe in evolution? Well, why would I have to believe in it if it's real? It's like, say, don't you believe in reproduction? I don't have to believe in it, I see it. Don't you believe in sex? I see it. What do you mean I don't believe in it? Well, don't you believe in eating? Yeah, I believe in eating. Well, don't you believe in evolution? Well, why do I have to believe in evolution? Say, do you believe in God? Why? Well, they don't say, well, I know God. Well, I know God. I know God. I know he's real. Do you believe in God? No. Oh, you believe in evolution. So see, they're both belief systems. And in the Scopes monkey trial, which was, I don't have time to get into all that right now. The idea of teaching, when the Scopes monkey trial took place, the idea was to teach a little bit of evolution alongside creation. That was the start. And now the Holy Trinity, Charles Darwin, has been ejected to the, he's the guy, man. Everything is Darwin. Everything is Darwin. And then we get surprised. We talk about evolution when the young kids acting like apes, act like monkeys. And people act like monkeys. What's going on? What's going on in our inner cities? Godless education, people acting like monkeys. Going to the scientific realm, what do you run into? It's all evolution, all evolution. And then we want to talk about equality. Everybody's equal. No, we're not equal. Charles Darwin said it was what? A struggle for preservation of favored races in the struggle for life. Charles Darwin's theory is dog eat dog, law of the jungle. That is his theory. And yet the social engineers want to use that simply to eliminate God. When they eliminate God, then they can bring in their social justice. They bring in justice, say these poor black people, they won't say it. They won't say it. But these poor black people, they can't make it. But we have to help them. Why? Because they're a lower species. Hmm? Oh, yeah. Let me show you this one here, Jared. Where did I stick it? I just popped that in there this morning because I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Maybe it's on the other thing. I sent you the second one, Jared. Stop churches. No, because this just came up. Where is it? Oh, there it is. Yeah. Hey, Jared. One, two, three, four. Fifth thing down. One, two, three, four, five. Click on that. National Right to Life. Look at this. Planned Parenthood leader, predominantly our patients are about 15 to 29 years old, women of color. Planned Parenthood, this is fresh. Why, that's September 12th, 2017. This is fresh. Planned Parenthood leader comes out and says, by the way, predominantly our patients are 15 to 29 years old and they're predominantly women of color. So we are seeing natural selection of the favored races. That's exactly what's going on through Planned Parenthood. We'll show you that one here in a second. Jared, scroll all the way down here if you can. I don't want to get bogged down on this either, but I want you to see something. Stay right there, Jared. While blacks and Latinos make up 13 to 18% of the population, they combine for 53% of the abortions, according to the pro-abortion Guttmacher Institute. Huh? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey, Not all races are equal, see? They got to get rid of what those useless teachers. I'm going to get to that here in a second as we go through this Holy Trinity, okay? So, Jared, let's go up and play Darwin. There's a little video here. It's Darwin and Racism. Darwin and Racism. It's the hidden story. It's the untold secret of Charles Darwin. He believed that black men in particular were simply undeveloped people. And struggle for life, favored races, Nazism. This is the first step of the unholy trinity. Go ahead and play this, Jared. I'm not hearing it.
Hey, while he's getting the audio going, I mentioned Laura Loubner. Laura Loubner, the woman who crashed the stupid Shakespeare in the Park, featuring the Trump assassination. She busted into Hillary Clinton's, the pantsuit war pigs, her stupid book signing, and busted her on the 33 emails and a bunch of other stuff.
Oh, did she really?
I posted a video on that.
I didn't see that. I'll have to check that out. Jared's working hard to get Charlie Darwin up here. Here we go.
Yeah.
From some ape-like creatures.
This is being taught in our schools. Black Lives Matter.
In 1871, Darwin published another book, The Descent of Man, in which he claimed that man evolved from some ape-like creatures. Darwin was unable to provide any evidence supporting his claims, but clearly fabricated some imaginary scenarios. Darwin also embraced an interesting thought. He asserted that some races were more evolved and therefore more advanced than others, whilst other races, on the other hand, he considered still to be at the same level as the apes. There was another important aspect to Darwin's theory. He erected his entire theory on the concept of struggle for survival. According to him, a fierce conflict, a bloody struggle pervaded the natural world. The strong always won against the weak and thus ensured development. Darwin asserted that a similar conflict also held true for human races. Even the subtitle in his book, The Origin of the Species by Way of Natural Selection, or The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life, explicitly reveals his racial views. According to Darwin, the favored race was the European white man. Asian or African races were, quite simply, failing in their struggle for survival. Darwin went one step further and even suggested that these races would finally be totally annihilated. At some future period, not very distant as measured by centuries, the civilized races of man will almost certainly exterminate and replace the savage races throughout the world. At the same time, the anthropomorphous apes will no doubt be exterminated. As this statement explicitly reveals, Darwin was an out-and-out racist, believing in the superiority of the white man. He believed the white man would, in time, first enslave and then eradicate the so-called inferior races. Indeed, Darwin's ideas found fertile ground. In his time, the white man was already in search of a theory to justify his crimes. From the 16th century on, Europeans started to colonize various parts of the world. The first colonizers were the Spanish under the guidance of Christopher Columbus. In a short while, the Spanish conquistadors invaded South America, enslaving the native peoples who inherently had been a peaceful race. The provinces of South America, which were rich in gold and silver, were plundered by these invaders. The native people who resisted were slaughtered.
Okay, Jared, you can cut this off there. I'm just trying to show you. We'll make this available for the future viewing. I'm trying to show you that Charles, are you hearing me now? Charles Darwin invented racism. Charles Darwin invented it. He invented it. And he called the savages of the Indians and the savages of Africa, he called them races of people. And so his whole theory of Darwinism, which we now take and we apply to the natural world, and we merely talk about evolution and the evolution of species within the animal kingdom, we leave out of the literature and leave out of the teaching that man is a higher evolved animal and some are more equal than others. Some are more evolved than others. Okay? It's very, very simple. The racist roots of evolution. Now we know this. Evolution as being taught, it's not true. Because they still call it a theory. Microevolution, evolution within species. Have a collie dog breed a boxer, you get a different dog. We all understand that. My wife and I get married. We have children. They look a little like both of us. We understand that. Evolution within species, micro. But macroevolution, the idea that we evolved from one species to another, it's not proven anywhere in science literature. It's all religious theory. Okay, time out. Somebody want to weigh in? We're giving you the unholy trinity here. First dude is Charles Darwin. Okay, let's move on. So you know who's next? Why, Margaret Sanger. Margaret Sanger's next. She picked up on Charles Darwin's theory and she looked around and she saw what she called the underclass of society and called them useless eaters. Margaret Sanger came up what was known as the Negro Project. And what was the Negro Project? I don't think that's one of the links. What was the Negro Project? Negro Project was, they went to the black pastors and they got the black pastors to buy into Planned Parenthood, the idea of out of wedlock births. And so they bought into the pastors and got the pastors support Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood, which was natural selection of preferred races. Isn't that what it says? Favored races? My goodness. Charles Darwin invented racism. He invented it.
Amazing.
And now that is the doctrine of the public schools. Now, what was it that creationism teaches? That we all come from the same mom and dad. Hey, we're up and running. All right. Hey, folks, if you're out there listening, you can log back on. We're up and running. We'll blame the heathen. were raging on that one for sure, as we began to dive into exactly what was going on with Margaret Sanger. Now, here's let's stay right here a second, Jared, because I'm looking at the clock, and this has been cut short. I don't know if I have enough time to complete the Unholy Trinity or not. And I want to, because I think it's critically important to understand, first of all, and we're going to find out that Margaret Sanger was absolutely unflinching in her racism. You know, she used to go to Ku Klux Klan gatherings and give speeches. Margaret Sanger did. Did we know that? No, we probably didn't know that. Jared, just to make sure everybody knows, let's click on, where is it? Wikipedia on Margaret Sanger, Jared. See if you can pull that up. Folks, if, hey, somebody out there is watching this on YouTube, if we're back up, just send me a text. If that's Robert or whoever it might be, say, I'm seeing it now, Coach. I'm seeing it. Well, here's Margaret Sanger. Let's get the time frame here, okay? When did Darwin write
his
book?
We're back up, Coach.
Good, thanks, Joe. Darwin wrote his book in 1859, right? Look here, Margaret Sanger. She was born in 1879. Margaret Sanger was born on died in 1966. She was an American birth control activist, sex educator, writer, and nurse. Sanger popularized the term birth control, opened the first birth control clinic in the United States, and it evolved into the Planned Parenthood Federation of America. Y'all, you follow me here? Huh? Sanger used her writings and speeches primarily to promote her way of thinking. She was prosecuted for her book, Family Limitation. You hearing that, JR? Family Limitation. She wrote a book in 1914. She was actually prosecuted for it. She was afraid of what would happen, so she fled to Britain until she knew it was safe to return to the United States. And Sanger's efforts contributed to several judicial cases that helped legalize contraception in the United States. And due to her connection with Planned Parenthood, Sanger is frequently targeted of criticism by opponents of abortion. Racist Margaret Sanger. And although Planned Parenthood did not begin providing abortions until 1970, after Sanger had already died, Sanger, who has been criticized for supporting negative eugenics, remains an admired figure in the American reproductive rights movement. I could go on and on and on. Scroll down there. What's the name of her book, Jared? Did we find that? This woman is so wicked. In 1921, Sanger founded the American Birth Control League, which later became Planned Parenthood Federation. In New York City, she organized the first birth control clinic staffed by all female doctors, as well as a clinic in Harlem, where African-American staff were later added. In 1929, she formed the National Committee on Federal Legislation of Birth Control, which serves as the focal point of her lobbying efforts to legalize contraception in the United States. From 52 to 59, Sanger served as president of the International Planned Parenthood Federation. She died in 1966 and was widely regarded as the founder of modern birth control. The Unholy Trinity, the Unholy Trinity. Somewhere in this thing, the reason I put it up here, it has the name of her book, but we're not going to worry about that right now. So Margaret Sanger, along comes Charlie Darwin, and Charlie Darwin tells us about evolution, 1859. Can you believe it? Can you believe science? Are we still believing it today? Because understand, science, although science is strengthened by the gospel, the Bible strengthens science. It doesn't. The Bible's not anti-science, but science has become anti-Bible. You understand? The idea that man is superior, science is now God, knowledge is now God. That's where we are. That's what's happened to us. So Darwin gives us evolution. Sanger says favored races, eugenics, let's get rid of these useless eaters. Jared, quickly, I didn't have it prepared. Jared, see if you can pull up, go to YouTube and see if you can pull up a video called The Negro Project. The Negro Project. If you think I'm making all this up, Planned Parenthood today getting $500 million tax dollars. There it is. The Negro, that's too big. Let's find a shorter one. Let's go to the Negro Project. They're the ones about 4 minutes and 50 seconds. There's a lot of good information out there. Wake up, Black America. Wake up, Jerry. Try that one. The Negro Project. It's try that one right there. See, let's see what it says.
It's called the Negro Project, amen. Our dirty little secret, amen. When I get done, you're gonna really understand what this abortion thing is really all about, amen. Abortion is racism. When I get done, you're gonna figure it out. It's not about a woman's choice. It's not about this big political thing. It is about Satan designed a way to sacrifice our children, say amen, and get away with it. And while we're preaching about everything else, this little dirty secret is going unnoticed, amen? Because we want to be on the side of whether you pro-choice or pro-whatever. There is no pro-choice. There's no choosing when it comes to life. After you chose to have sex, then you chose the consequences of what came out of the sex. Say
Jared,
amen.
Pause this a second.
It's no way.
Pause it a second. Folks, I got to make this point. It's come up in my spirit twice. I got to make this point. Listen, if the black community could ever be awakened to what Planned Parenthood is all about, abortion would end in America in a matter of weeks. But blacks are so tied to the Democratic Party that they can't see the forest for the trees. And they don't understand that 53% of abortions in America are on minorities with roots to Margaret Sanger and roots to Darwinism. And yet we still see black Americans go out in droves and vote for a political party that funds Planned Parenthood to the destruction of their race, to the destruction of their own people. Go ahead, Jared.
To get rid of that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Not in God's eyes. Are y'all there? Look at this. Several years ago, when 17,000 aborted babies were found in a dumpster outside a pathology laboratory in Los Angeles, California, some 12 to 15,000 were observed to be black. That was by a woman, a social worker. She's dead now. Her name was Irma Craven. Amen. So she said they found some babies in a dumpster, and 12 to 15,000 were black. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Are y'all there? Now we're gonna get into some things. Amen. Look at this abortion. Look at this abortion. Look, this is the Ku Klux Klan slogan now, because lynching is for amateurs. So they know I don't have to worry about lynching y'all no more, because abortion is killing you black folk faster than we ever could have. Are y'all hearing me? Look at this. In America today, almost as many African American children are being aborted as are born.
Okay, Jared, this is another great one. And you got to listen, if you're going to keep up with this, you got to do a little bit of your own Googling yourself, all right? Simply Google the Negro Project. It doesn't have to be Jared, do that. Google the Negro Project, not on YouTube. The Negro Project, and see what comes up. Oh, my goodness. Hey, the unholy trinity is what we're talking about today. I'm going to try to get the third one in here before. We'll talk more about it in the days ahead. The Negro Project. There it is. The Negro Project. Black genocide. Click on that one, Jared. Third one down. Black genocide. This is by my friend Clenard Childress. The Negro Project, Margaret Sanger's eugenic plan for black America. There it is. Boy, oh boy, I don't want to go down and read. This is all there. It's all there. Look at that. On the crisp, sunny fall day in Columbus, on Columbus Day, 1999, organizers of the So Say March approached the steps of the U.S. Supreme Court, yada, yada, yada. The Negro Project was taken on by Planned Parenthood to get the pastors involved with getting their people to take birth control. And then that led to abortion within the black community. Now, over one third, there are more black babies aborted in New York City every year than are born. I'm gonna say it again. More black babies aborted in New York City than are born. I know you don't believe it. Google it and you'll find it. So we're making a connection here now today. The unholy trinity, Charles Darwin comes up with evolution. Margaret Sanger picks it up and runs with it. Now, one of the unholy trinity I'm not throwing in there, but I'm going to stick in there right now, was our good friend Adolf Hitler. And what do you think Adolf Hitler, who was he piggybacking off of? Well, we know who he was piggybacking off of, right? And they're still using that racist crap today when, in fact, it's the left that's trying to kill people. It's the left that's doing it, not the right. No, no, it's not. It's not the right that's out there trying. When I go to the abortion clinics, I'm trying to save black babies. I'm trying to save black babies. All babies matter. Black babies matter. Black lives matter. Okay. Jared, I got a video that says Sangren Planned Parent. Did we already play that? I don't think we did. I'm so fired up here this morning. Stuff ticks me off. 6 minutes, play it. The mother of black genocide, Margaret Sanger. Evolution.
Birth control, the value of birth control, is becoming apparent to the enlightened and the intelligent. The campaign for birth control is not merely of eugenic value, but is practically identical in ideal with the final aim of eugenics. Margaret Sanger, 1921.
In her autobiography, Margaret Sanger wrote about a speech she gave in 1926 at a Ku Klux Klan rally in Silver Lake, New Jersey. The Planned Parenthood founder bragged about the fact that afterward, she was invited by 12 other Klan chapters to speak at their events.
The Klans were Democrats!
The American Birth Control League was changing its name to Planned Parenthood. A lot of books and reports began coming out that attempted to put a happy face on eugenics. And many of them were written by people that were associated with Planned Parenthood. The strategy here was obvious. Since the Nazis had turned eugenics into a four-letter word, the American eugenics movement decided it was time to lay low. So most of their writings during this time period downplayed the role of eugenics and couched their agenda in terms of helping the African American. Perhaps the best example of this is a 1,500-page book by eugenicist Gunnar Myrdal called An American Dilemma, The Negro Problem in Modern Democracy.
Commonly, it is considered a great misfortune for America that Negro slaves were ever imported. The presence of Negroes in America today is usually considered a plight of the nation. Chapter 7, page 167.
Pause it a second, Americans, Jared. My wife just texted me. I want to respond before I forget this. My wife just texted me and said this. Remember, if you're an evolutionist, then you believe in bullying. Planned Parenthood's bullying! That's all it is! Remember, they always accuse everybody else of exactly what it is that they're doing. The left is bullies. Planned Parenthood are bullies. They kill innocent little people who cannot protect themselves. Yet they claim that they're for equality. Thanks, Michelle. Go ahead, Jared.
Agree that if the Negro is to be eliminated, he must be eliminated slowly so as not to hurt any living individual Negroes. Chapter 7, page 168. The only way possible of decreasing Negro population is by means of controlling fertility. Chapter 7, page 170. Birth control facilities could be extended relatively more to Negroes than to whites, since Negroes are more concentrated in the lower income and education classes. Chapter 7, page 176.
Genocide in action, publicly funded genocide in our schools.
One of the places where government money has been used to advance the eugenics agenda has been in the public school system. Although government-funded population control programs can be found in white schools, the evidence is that they are significantly more likely to be targeted at black schools.
One example of this was seen in 1986, when it was discovered that Illinois public schools were not only distributing birth control to children, but that every one of the 50 facilities involved were in minority neighborhoods. When this information was made public, a local African-American pastor organized a campaign to stop the program. Reverend Hiram Crawford labeled the project genocide, saying that the obvious goal was to go after the Hispanic and black population.
Wow. That same pattern was also found in Maryland in the 1990s. Even though the state's teen pregnancy rate was higher among white students than black students, when the contraceptive device Norplant was introduced, it was selectively marketed to children as young as 13 in predominantly black schools in Baltimore. The result was that of the first 350 girls implanted at a local middle school, 345 were African American. Then, when Norplant was approved for general distribution, of the first 100 schools selected, all 100 were in minority neighborhoods.
The Norplant contraception device was developed by the Population Council in New York, which had been established in 1952 under the leadership of its president, John Rockefeller. Its next two presidents, Frederick Osborne and Frank Notstein, were both former members of the American Eugenics Society. And Notstein would later serve on the National Advisory Council of Planned Parenthood.
The impact of abortion, planned black genocide.
Legal abortion has killed more African Americans than AIDS, cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and violent crime combined. Every week, more blacks die in American abortion clinics than were killed in the entire Vietnam War. And the largest chain of abortion clinics in the United States is operated by Planned Parenthood.
With your tax dollars.
We have now reached a point in this country that African American women, though they make up 12% of the population, they account for 37% of the abortions. An African-American baby is almost five times more likely to be aborted than a white child. The abortion industry at this point kills as many African-American people every 4 days as the Klan killed in 150 years. And you can truly say the most dangerous place for an African-American to be is in the womb of their African-American mother.
Birth control and abortion are turning out to be the great eugenic advances of our time. Frederick Osborne, founding member of the American Eugenics Society, 1973.
The best way to hate a nigger is to hate him before he is born. Leander Perez, Louisiana State Judge, 1970.
There you are, boys. There you are, boys and girls. Only got 5 minutes left. I can't get into our good buddy Alfred Kinsey. Hey, JR, I know you're out there. The Natural Family Foundation. I'm connecting dots that I don't know if you've ever seen connected anyplace else. Not claiming to be the brightest guy. But what I'm going to share with you tomorrow about the destruction of the family and the final of the triumvirate, the unholy trinity, Alfred Kinsey, you're not going to believe what we're going to share with you tomorrow. Got about 4 or 5 minutes in here. Let's open up the mic, jump in here. Sorry about the technical problem.
Coach, this is really interesting. I just wrote an article about the pill, and I put it in the Natural Family Foundation webpage. I'll put it on your Facebook page for a link. But it's interesting that you're talking about the pill. I just wrote that yesterday. Hmm.
Just. And see, we can't try like I've been in the abortion fight for a decade and a half. We can't get blacks interested in it. We can't get them interested in it. And to see how they've been sold a lie, and they're so blindly Christian, black people are blindly connected to a party whose sole intent is the destruction of their people. Vince, do you think I'm making this up? Somebody help me out here. Am I making this up? Who's the racist crew here, folks?
You're dead on, brother. Dead on. Come on, you know, you can see I'm a black guy here, and you hear me screaming or anything because he's telling the truth. This is it.
So Vince, where is the black? What do they call it? The Congressional Black Caucus. Where are they? Where are they?
They're a minstrel show. They're not doing anything for black people. They're doing stuff for themselves. All they're doing is lining their pockets with filthy lucre.
But Vince, you know this. Vince, you know this. You know this. I'm going to go where nobody else will go. You know, Vince, that even in the black community, they recognize some of those people are acting like animals, yes or no?
You better believe it. Looting when they should be helping people? That's ridiculous.
That's right.
Absolutely ridiculous.
So there are some higher ups, some elites in the black community that would say this, well, we've evolved, we're higher, we don't act like the rest of those people, but some of those people down in the inner city, we can't have this going on. All those single moms and no fathers and all going on welfare and costing us money. Folks, let there be no doubt about it. The elitist blacks are just as interested in getting rid of the human weeds as everybody on the eugenic side is. You get what I'm telling you?
That was Margaret Sanger's theme. She said, we need to exterminate them. We need to weed them out. She said, we need to get black pastors to get in there and to preach that into their churches and dump money into that. And that's exactly what it was. It was eugenics, and it goes all the way back. And so, brother, and sure enough, the most dangerous place for an African-American is in the mother's womb. I've been in this fight with you, Coach. Been doing this for 25 years. In 1857, Dred Scott, right? What did it say? Yep. That a black person was not a human being.
Six tenths of a human being. Huh? Come on, man. It's unbelievable, Steve. It's unbelievable what's going on. And the church won't rise up against it. The black church won't rise up in it. Because, see, can I tell you why? They're so dependent on government that they don't want to go against the Democratic Party because the Democratic Party puts food in their belly. Somebody say amen out there, okay?
Amen. So amen.
Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy, church? Hey, who's your daddy, black church? Who's your daddy, black church?
That was the New Deal, right? That was the New Deal. And what did Lyndon Johnson say? He said, we'll have them niggers voting for us for the next 50 years. Excuse my language. He said it. He said it, not me. I say, come out from amongst them and be ye separate, church. Come out from amongst that.
Amen. I'm talking to black Christians. I'm not talking to whatever they are. I'm not talking about those that are out there running around acting like they're unhuman. I'm talking to black Christians. I'm talking to black pastors. I'm talking to black God-fearing Americans. Wake the hell up!
That's right.
Amen.
It's in our schools. They're funding murder with your tax dollars. They're teaching in our schools that we came from apes, and then they're subtly eliminating those that they believe are the closest to the apes. Don't think there's anything different going on. It's time for the church to wake up. God bless y'all. Sleep on that one. We'll go after old Alfred Kinsey, that pedophile, pervert, homosexual. We'll go get him tomorrow. God bless y'all.
You got it, brother.